translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The great sage Parashara, as aforementioned, being so advised by the great sage Pulatsya, spoke unto me the foremost of the Puranas, Bhagavatam. I shall also describe this before you, my dear son, in terms of my hearing, because you are always my faithful follower. Purport. The great sage of the name Pulastya is the father of all demoniac descendants. Once upon a time, Parashar began a sacrifice in which all the demons were to be burned to death because his father had been killed and devoured by one of them. The great sage Vasishtha Muni arrived at the sacrifice and requested Parashara to stop the deadly action. And because of Vasishtha's position and respect in the community of sages, Parashara could not deny the request. Parashara having stopped the sacrifice, Pulastya, the father of the demons, appreciated his Brahmanical temperament and gave the blessing that in the future he would be a great speaker on the Vedic literatures called the Puranas, the supplements of the Vedas. Parashara's action was appreciated by Pulastya because Parashara had forgiven the demons out of his Brahmanical power of forgiveness. Parashara was able to demolish all the demons in the sacrifice, but he considered demons are so made that they devour living creatures, men and animals. But why on that account should I withdraw my Brahmanical qualification of forgiveness? As the great speaker of the Puranas, Parashara first of all spoke on the Srimad Bhagavat Purana because it is the foremost of all the Puranas. Maitreya Muni desired to narrate the same Bhagavatam he had heard from Parashara, and Vidura was qualified to hear it because of his faithfulness and his following the instructions received from superiors. So Srimad Bhagavatam was being narrated from time immemorial by the disciplic succession, even before the time of Vyasadeva. The so-called historians calculate the Puranas to be only a few hundred years old, but factually the Puranas existed from time immemorial, before all historical calculations by the mundaners and speculative philosophers. Thank you. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Canto 3, Chapter 8, describes the conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. And this is a wonderful conversation in many respects. It gives the foundation of Bhagavata philosophy. But I'll stick to the verse, and this verse is really multidimensional. Pravacha mayam sadayalu rukto. Pravacha mayam. So here, Maitreya is speaking to Vidura. Vidura has approached Maitreya with a few questions. Questions regarding the creation of this universe, questions about who is the ultimate controller. And Maitreya is responding to Vidura, and this is the beginning of his response. He says, I shall now speak what I have heard from the most dayalu, the most compassionate one, my own spiritual master, Parashara. Commenting on this verse, Vijayadvaja from the Madhva Sampradaya, he says, right at the beginning of Bhagavatam, actually the first two cantos of the Bhagavatam are just setting the scene. And Bhagavatam as such begins from the third canto. Of course, Bhagavatam begins from the first canto, but different acharyas have given different perspective. So the third canto, when Bhagavatam is, the episodes are being spoken, Vijayadvaja says, right at the beginning, the sampradaya has been established. It is established that this Bhagavatam is not somebody's imagination. It is rooted in scientific transmission from guru to disciple. And the perfectness of this Bhagavatam is because of its transmission. So what is the disciplic succession that is being spoken of here? Does anyone remember from verse number 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? Sanat Kumar, yes. But before that? Before Sanat Kumar? So disciplic succession is Shankarshana, who is, where is Shankarshana? Yes, where is he? Where is he? Bottom of the universe, very good. You score 100 marks. So, bottom of the universe is carried on the top of this. There are three names, Ananta, Shesha and Shankarshana. Of course, there's also Mula Shankarshana. We don't want to go into that detail. It'll come in the future verses. This chapter is quite technical and it's nice. But on the head of Shankarshana is the universe. So Shankarshana is always with his eyes closed, meditating, half eyes closed, meditating. And Shankarshana is meditating on Vasudev, the Lord himself. So Vasudev gave the message of Bhagavatam to Shankarshana. Shankarshana was approached by the four Kumaras. Who are the four Kumaras? Sanat, Sanatan, Sananda, and Sanat. Very good. Oh, Sanak. So, Sanak, Sananda, Sanatana, and Sanat Kumar. This is the order in which, if you read third canto of Bhagavatam, I think third canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 12, isn't it? Yeah. Chapter 12, verse number 4, describes the origin of the Kumaras, the first mind-born sons of Brahma. And the sequence is Sanaka comes out first, then Sananda, then Sanatan, then Sanat Kumar. Sanat Kumar is the one who is born last in that sequence, if you read Bhagavatam. That is why he is the youngest or eldest? He is born last. But they are born as quadruplets, yeah? Four together. So he is the eldest, youngest. Oh, we can't agree. So scripturally speaking, between Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, who was born first? Hiranyakashipu was born first. And then Hiranyaksha was born. According to the scriptures, the one who has entered the womb first comes out last. Because they entered the womb first, they are the older one. So in this case, the four Kumaras, who's the oldest? Sanat Kumar. And the older brother is always the leader. So Sanat Kumar is the leader among the four Kumaras. Yeah. So these four Kumaras, led by the elder brother, Sanat Kumar, a sequence is given in the reference I gave you, 3:12:4. So they approach. Whom do they approach? Shankarsana. Shankarsana gives them Bhagavatam. The four Kumaras are in turn approached by a great rishi by the name of Sankhyayana. Sankhyayana rishi has written a Griha Sutra. There are different kinds of sutras in the Shastra. There is Kalpa Sutra, Griha Sutra, Dharma Sutra. Different sutras are there. So, Griha Sutras are written by Sankhyayana rishi. Very famous Sankhyayana Griha Sutras. These Sankhyayana Griha Sutras describe how grihasthas should maintain their ashram. What are the different activities that grihasthas should perform? So he was a great rishi. And Sankhyayana, he received Bhagavatam from the four Kumaras. And Sankhyayana in turn gave the message of Srimad Bhagavatam to... There are two people mentioned in the previous verse. Yes? Brihaspati, very good. And? Parashara, two disciples. And then Parashara transmitted this Bhagavatam to Maitreya. And Maitreya gave it to Vidura. So this is the Bhagavat Parampara. There are many, many different lines, but one of this line is, quickly, can we say, Vasudev to Shankarshan? Not Pradyumna. Not quadruplets. Shankarshan to Sanat Kumar, all the four Kumaras. Kumaras to Sankhyayana. Sankhyayana to Parashara and Brihaspati. Parashara to Maitreya. Maitreya to Vidura. This is the parampara. Now somebody might think, why this particular parampara? So acharyas, they explain things so beautifully. This morning I was scanning through the 11 commentaries of the acharyas, and Vallabhacharya gives a nice explanation. He says this Bhagavad Dharma has no... You cannot confine this Bhagavad Dharma by time or place. When is the right time to distribute Bhagavad Dharma? Every time is the right time. What is the right place? Every place is the right place. So Srila Prabhupada has given Bhagavad Dharma in the form of his books. Once some devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, can we distribute your books everywhere?" Prabhupada said, "Absolutely yes." And then the next day a devotee came and said, "Prabhupada, we think on Friday nights the best place to distribute books is the pub. So can we go and distribute in the pub? Can we give Bhagavad Dharma in the pub?" Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, you can. But please make sure you come back." So Bhagavad Dharma has no confinement. So Vallabhacharya gives a beautiful understanding. You see, if we think of Brahma, Brahma received Bhagavatam as Chatushloki, only four verses. So Brahma, he promotes Bhagavatam in Satyalok, right at the top. The next is, next lok is Tapalok. Below it is Janalok. In Janalok are the four Kumaras. So the Kumaras promote Bhagavatam in Janalok and Tapalok. Come further down is Maharlok. Sankhyana Rishi, he lives in Maharlok. So in Maharlok also there is a promoter. See, there are promoters everywhere. So Sankhyana Rishi is in Maharlok. Bhagavatam is promoted there also. Then come down, Swarlok, Swarga. So we see Sankhyana gave Bhagavatam to Brihaspati, the king of Indra, the guru of Indra. He promotes Bhagavatam in Swargalok and Suvarlok. Suvar is Antarish, the between earth and Swarga, that portion. You can say the celestial sky, where the Apsaras, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, they live. So that portion is also covered by Brihaspati. And then on earth, who is promoting Bhagavatam? Parashara. Parashara. Then Maitreya, then Vidura. So in this way, all the worlds are covered. Not really. Because then you have the lower planetary systems. Below earth is Atala. Below that is Sutala. You skipped one. Oh, it is Vitala, yes. And then Sutala. Then Talatala. Then Mahatala. Then Rasatala. Then Patala. We should remember these. I'm sure we visited these places in some lifetime. So, below Patal Lok is Sankarsana. So, Sankarsana covers all these lower planets. He promotes Bhagavatam there. So, in Sutala Lok, we have Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is also reciting Bhagavatam. But he has some doubts, he clarifies with Lord Sankarsana. So this way, Vallabhacharya says that, he says in his commentary, Uparitana lokeshu devaloke bhagvata prachararartham bhumaucha. On all the planetary systems, chaturdasha bhuvaneshu, in all the 14 planetary systems, this parampara has been established. So Bhagavad Dharma is established in all places. Now we shall see the words of this. Can you go to the verse, please? Just the text of the verse. Provacha mayam sadayalu rukto. The first line he says, Provacha mayam. My guru, Maitreya is telling Vidura, my guru Parashara was very kind, he was dayalu. Why is he dayalu? So the acharyas are giving different examples. Srila Prabhupada has given a history. This history is mentioned in Ramayana, Mahabharata, Linga Purana, and Vishnu Purana. And it is alluded to in Padma Purana also. What is the history? We will take the history from Vishnu Purana because of Kalpa Bheda, different days of Brahma, the same pastime happens slightly differently. So we take the account of the Vishnu Purana. In the Vishnu Purana it is mentioned that once there was a yajna being performed by a king named Kalmashapad. And this yajna was being performed by Vasishtha, Muni Vasishtha. Now the arch enemy of Vasishtha is Vishwamitra. They are both Brahmanas, but they are envious. Especially Vishwamitra is extremely envious of Vasishtha. And because of his envy, he got a demon named Rudhira to enter into the body of Kalmashapad. And this yajna was being performed by Vasishtha along with his son Shakti. So you have Vasishtha and Shakti performing the yajna for Kalmashapad. Vishwamitra makes the demon named Rudhira enter into the body of Kalmashapad. And when it is time for giving Dakshina, The Yajaman approaches the Brahmana, pays obeisances and gives Dakshina. Instead, Kalmashapad approached Shakti, who was the Brahmana, son of Vasishtha, and he devoured Shakti. He ate him because he had this demon in him. And he ate 99 other brothers of Shakti. So Vasishtha, all his sons, 100 sons were eaten up by Kalmashapad. However, Adrishtavati, who is the wife of Shakti, who was eaten by Kalmashapad, she was pregnant with a child. And the child who was born was Parashara. And this Parashara, when he was born, he asked, "Where is my father?" He asked his mother. The mother said, "Well, your father was devoured by a demon, a Rakshasa." Hearing this, the young child, he started doing Rakshasa Satra. Satra means a yagya in which he was with every swaha. He was calling the different, you know, when we do different yagyas, actually when we say Om Indraya Swaha, Idam Indraya Idam Namama, we are actually inviting Indra, please come and take your offering. Om Agnaya Swaha, Om Varunaya Swaha, please Agni, come and take your offering. Please Varuna, come and take your offering. So similarly, he was offering every Rakshasa by name into the fire. And at that time, Pulatsya Rishi, he came and he told Vasishtha. Vasishtha is the grandfather of Parashara. Parashara's father is Shakti, who was eaten by the demon Rakshasa. And Parashara's, Shakti's father is Vasishtha. So Vasishtha, Shakti and Parashara. So Shakti is no more. So Parashara is the grandson of Vasishtha. So Vasishtha approached Parashara and said, "My dear grandson, what is the use of this anger? This anger is misdirected to all the demons, whereas the act was only performed by one." And in Vishnu Puran it says, Sanchitasyapi mahato vatsa kleshena manavai. Anger destroys three things. Whatever you have, whatever good, pious credits you have achieved, sanchita, is destroyed by anger. Second, yashasas tapasas chaiva. Your fame is destroyed. An angry person is famous, but because of the wrong reason. So anger destroys good fame. Tapasas, tapasya is also destroyed by anger. Krodho nashakara para. Krodha is really destructive. It's very powerful, but it's a destructive force. So Parashara gives this advice to Vasishtha gives this advice to Parashara. Please stop your anger. Stop killing these demons. They did not all commit the aparad of killing your father. It was just one of them. But your reaction is disproportionate. What is the quality of anger? The quality of anger is that it's a disproportionate reaction. So Parashara is mentioned as Provacha Mayam Sadayalu Rukto Dayalu. He was Dayalu because he let go of the demons. Now, who is this Pulatsya? Do you know who is Pulatsya? Yes?
He was a Muni.
He was a Muni. He was a sage. What else do you know about Pulatsya? Yes, very good. So, actually he is referred to in the Shastra by two names, Pulatsya and Pulastya, both. Bhagavatam calls him Pulastya. So I keep switching between the two, I'll stick to Pulastya. Pulastya, yes, he is the same Rishi who brought Giriraj Govardhan. You know the pastime of how Giriraj Govardhan appeared in this world. He was carrying Giriraj and then he had to attend to nature's call. He put Giriraj down where in Braj, and then Giriraj said, I cannot move anymore. So that is where Giriraj is. So Pulastya is a very powerful rishi. In fact, in Shanti Parva of Mahabharata, he is mentioned as the guru of Bhishma. Pulastya is also one of the Saptarishis, according to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. According to Bhagavatam. So he's not an ordinary person. But then, as Prabhupada says in the purport, his lineage was that of demons. So is that possible? Is it possible that devotees give birth to demons? Yeah? Anyone has experience of that? Many experiences are there. Many. I mean, okay, let's think of one good example. So, let's take Brahma to begin with. Let's see where we go. Brahma is a devotee? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, I'll pick up one of his sons. One of his sons is Kashyapa. You have heard of Kashyapa? Kashyapa is a
sage.
Very good. Kashyapa's two prominent wives, Diti and Aditi. Let's pick up Diti. Diti's son, Hiranyakashipu. Kashyapa's sage, son is a demon. The foremost of demons. Yeah? Prahlad Maharaj addresses him as, oh, best of demons. So he's the best of demons. Hiranyakashipu. Demon. His son is? Prahlad. He is a devotee. Prahlad's son is? Virochana. Virochana is a demon. He is destructive. Virochana's son is? Bali Maharaj is a devotee. Bali Maharaj's son is? Banasur. Banasur is a demon. Banasur's son is? He doesn't have a son. So that also can happen. His daughter is Usha. She falls in love with Aniruddha. And Aniruddha and Usha run away. Who is Aniruddha? Grandson of Krishna. So Usha is a devotee. Usha and Aniruddha's son is Vajranabh. Vajranabh established all of Braj. You can read about this in the Skanda Purana, Bhagavat Mahatmya, beautifully mentioned how Vajranabh established all the holy places. Vajranabh is a great devotee. So you see in this lineage, we'll stop there because it continues. Then there is Anga and others. Vajranabh's son is Anga, etc. I don't want to go through the whole list, but you can see it is possible that father is a great devotee, son is the great demon. We cannot be guaranteed. When my children were small, I took them to one very saintly ISKCON sadhu. And I asked him, Maharaj, please give them blessing that they may become devotees. So this particular sannyasi is from Braj or lives in Braj. He said, Dekhna padega. Which in Hindi means, we'll have to see what happens. He didn't say that they will become devotees. So far I think they are on the right path. But you never know. One of them is here in the room. So you know, we can never be sure. And one should not be disheartened. So this Pulatsya Rishi, his son is, anyone knows who his son is? Vishrava. How is Pulatsya born? Third canto Bhagavatam, 12th chapter. He is born from, I think, verse number 24, 23, 24. 3, 12, 24. He is born from Karna Yoho, from the years of Brahma. So he's a great personality. His son is that correct? Years of Brahma. And he is born from the years of Brahma. His son is Vishrava. Vishrava, he marries two women. One is known as Ida Vida. That's a nice name, na? Ida Vida. And the other is Keshini. Ida Vida is a daughter of Bharadwaj Rishi. And Keshini is a Gandharva's daughter. So both are divine in one sense. And yet, Ida Vida's son is Kubera, Yakshas. And the son of Keshini is very famous. Three sons. Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Vibhishana. Such a great lineage. Pulatsya to Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Vibhishana. Proper Brahmanas, huh? So in South India, they say that Ram was from North India, and so he was a Kshatriya, so he killed our king Ravana because he was North Indian. Like there's some political party, they say that. But they forget that Ravana was also Brahmana, right? Because he is in this lineage. So can you be a Brahmana and a demon? See, there are examples. Can you be a sannyasi and a demon? Many sannyasis fall down. Huh? It's common in Kali Yuga. Those who don't fall down, they are in a lot of stress. Because sannyas ashram is not easy to maintain in Kali Yuga. That is why Brahman Puran says in Kali Yuga, one should not take sannyas. The six Goswamis didn't take sannyas. They just wore white Babaji Vesh. But Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, everyone's making fun of the Vaishnavas. Now we shall give them the order of sannyas. His own guru was not sannyasi, Babaji. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also took Babaji Vesh later on. But Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took sannyas and gave sannyas to his disciples. And Prabhupada did the same, following his spiritual master. Which is all correct, good. But maintaining sannyas is difficult. There are more pakhandi sannyasis. Ravana was sannyasi, na? He was Brahmana, for sure. But when he wanted to abduct Sita, he thought, what is the one dress I can take which everyone will bow down to? Immediately they see sannyasi, they bow down. What is that one dress? Sannyasi. So Ravan went in a sannyas danda, proper sannyasi dress. Oh Maharaj, please come. Sita Maya also got bewildered. Actually, real Sita did not. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to South India, he discovered the manuscript in which it mentioned that real Sita was, she entered Agni and Maya Sita was abducted by Ravana. How can Ravana touch Sita Maharani? Not possible. So this we should understand. Anyway, I drifted. So, then it says, Dayalu. Another reason the Acharyas give why the Guru is mentioned as Dayalu by Maitreya, his Guru Parashar is mentioned as Dayalu, is because a disciple naturally thinks he is unqualified. It's only the daya of the spiritual master. It's not one's own qualification. Sometimes devotees think, I'm not qualified to take initiation. One devotee approached me and said, Prabhu, I can't take initiation because I'm not qualified. So I said, okay, try to become qualified. And then after a few years also he came, he said, I'm not qualified. Then I said, okay, try to be qualified. After 6 years he said, I'm still not qualified. I said, you'll never be qualified. Because as a disciple one should never feel qualified. I deserve initiation. Some people are like that. I was in once, you know, they have a very nice system in the manor. They have an interview before initiation. So one such interview was there. One gentleman, question was asked, so why you want to take initiation? I don't like my name. I need a new name. I need a Krishna name. I said, oh, this is the, I deserve. But disciple always feels unqualified. Then, when Pulastya heard, Pulastyena Uktaha, Uktaha means he in return told. What did he tell? He tell Parashara, because you have been merciful to my descendants, to the demons, I give you the blessing that you shall become the promoter of Puranas. So actually Bhagavat Purana is spoken between Shaunaka and the other rishis and then Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit. However, if you read Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana begins with this pastime of the demon Kalmashapad eating Shakti. The first chapter of Vishnu Purana. Vishnu Purana begins with two personalities, Maitreya and Parashara. So, Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, these are all spoken by Parashara. And this is the blessing that Parashara received. So, then it is mentioned that Munihi Provacha Mahyam Munihi. This Parashar was Muni. My Guru was a Muni. What is the meaning of Muni?
The one who differs.
The one who differs from each other. Okay, that is one, yes. Mental speculator? Maybe, yeah. What else? A thoughtful philosopher, yes, correct. Muni also means one whose mind is absorbed. So why is Parashar mentioned as Muni? He's mentioned as Muni because there's a nice episode in Vishnu Purana. Would you like to hear it? Yes. The episode is, and it's very instructive. Once there is an assembly of over 100,000 sages in which they want to hear from one who is the most experienced and who is the eldest of all. So do you know which sage is the eldest of all? Huh? Agastya? No.
Narada?
Narada? No. The eldest of all is Markandeya. Markandeya received the blessing that he will live for 7 kalpas. What is one kalpa? 1,000 Mahayugas. So what is one Mahayuga? One Mahayuga is 4 Yuga, then 1,000 Yugas. So 4.32 billion years is one kalpa. 4.32 billion years. The blessing received by Markandeya is you will live for 7 kalpas. So 4.32 billion multiplied by 7. That is quick. 30.24 billion years. Is he old? He's old. 30.24 30.24 billion years old. So Markandeya was in that assembly of 100,000 rishis. The question was, who is the eldest? We would all like to hear from the most experienced, the most eldest. Eldest amongst all of us. So all the rishis, unanimously, they voted Markandeya. You are the eldest amongst us. Please, come forward and address us. So Markandeya came forward, looking at all of them. He pointed in a certain direction. He pointed at Vasishtha. On the lap of Vasishtha was Saptavarshika. What is the age of Markandeya? Saptakalpa, seven kalpas. There was a seven-year-old boy on the lap of Vasishtha. Seven-year-old boy. His name was Parashara, his grandson. Because Shakti was eaten by the demon, Parashara was raising his grandson. Vasishtha was raising his grandson, Parashara. So Parashara was on the lap of Vasishtha. And Markandeya in that assembly, he pointed to that boy and said, please come. Parashar walked forward. Seven-year-old boy in front of a seven-kalpa-old Markandeya. And then Markandeya paid his full dandavat obeisances to Parashara. And he said to the assembly, he is the eldest amongst us all. Everyone is confused. How is this possible? Does anyone know how this is possible? So Markandeya explains. He explains that this child, he is a Prakrita Vaishnava. In Sanskrit, Prakrita Vaishnava means he is Vaishnava from inception, conception, initial existence. He is a Vaishnava. He's always been a Vaishnava because he never forgets Vishnu, ever, Parashara. Whereas I have lived for seven kalpas, 30.24 billion years, and yet I sometimes remember Vishnu. Then, remember this, Markandeya gives a very nice definition of what is your age. He says, if you take a person's age, say somebody is 50 years old. According to Markandeya's definition, only those moments when that person has remembered Vishnu are considered to be lived. The other moments are simply dead. So in that sense, you may be 50, but if you only truly remembered Krishna with love, 1 minute in your life, in 50 years, you may have chanted for many, many years. But if you really not loved Krishna even for one moment, your life is complete waste. This is Markandeya's definition. And he says, but this little Parashara, he may look 7 year old, but he is constantly in love of Vishnu, in remembrance of Vishnu. So he is the eldest amongst us all. And then everyone, all the rishis, they worship Parashar. So here, knowing this, Maitreya is referring to him as Munihi. See, we are trying to understand every single word. Pulastyena uktaha. Pulastya then gives the blessing to Parashar. Purana madhyam. And this Parashar, my guru, Maitreya says, give me Purana Madhyam. What is the meaning of Purana Madhyam? Anyone? Radharaman Goswami from Gaudiya Sampradaya, he is guru of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In his commentary, he writes, Adya means the foremost, the best. So Purana Madhyam means Srimad Bhagavatam. Giridhar Lal, in his commentary, says, following the commentary of Vallabhacharya, Subodhini Tika, he says, Adya means one who is first, which means Adi Kavi, which means Brahma. So Adyam means that Purana which was given to Adikavi, to Brahma. So Purana Madhyam means Bhagavatam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also agrees, Purana Madhyam means Bhagavatam. So he gave this Bhagavatam to me. Who gave the Bhagavatam to me? My Guru, Parashara, gave this Bhagavatam to me very kindly. Now somebody might say, you must be such a wonderful disciple that he gave this Bhagavatam to you. That is why he says, Provacha Mahiyam. Provacha Mahiyam means he gave it to me without any cause. Because in the Shastra it is said that one should not glorify one's own self. Dharma Kshati Kirtanat. This is a very well-known dictum of the Shastra. Dharma Kshati Kirtanat. If you do kirtan of the dharma you have performed, then it becomes zero. If you do a donation and then you say, please put my name on the card so everyone reads, Karthik Chandra Das donated £1. Please put it. Or £100 or £1,000 or £10,000. The moment we profess, we do kirtana of our dharma, any activity, the benefit that one would have got from that dharma becomes zero. Because the yasha that one gets is the result of that dharma. Finished. Yasha meaning the fame. That itself is the result. I donate £100,000 to... I haven't done it, by the way. I wish I could. But I suppose I donate £100,000 to the temple, to the manor. And I say, please, on the top right, donation £100,000, Karthik Chandra Das. That donation, whatever credit I would have got, sukriti or credit or devotional benefit I would have got with that donation becomes zero. Just because the result of that donation is just that fame that I receive. That's it. Everyone now knows I donated that money. Finish. So that is why it is said one should not speak about one's own glory. In Kali Yuga we all have this business. But the Dharma Shastras, they say, Swaguna Swamukhena na Vaktavya. Swaguna Swamukhena na Vaktavya. Don't speak your own qualities with your own mouth. Remain humble. So you see here, Maitreya is very nicely saying, Provacha Mahiyam. He gave me Bhagavatam. Just, I didn't do anything. I am an ordinary person. But he was very kind. He's not glorifying himself. And then, Soham Tavaitat Kathayami. I will now give you this Bhagavatam that Parashara gave me. Maitreya is telling Vidura, I will give you that Bhagavatam. Vatsa. Vatsa means my dear. So you can see there is Sneha. Sneha means there is love. Vatsa means my dear. My dear disciple, my dear son, I'll give you this Bhagavatam. Unless there is Sneha, Guru will not give to the disciple. One person, sometimes he listens to this Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, I speak manner once in a while. And I visited his house. He comes to temple. He's a nice person, nice devotee. I visited his house and he fed us prasadam. And then he said, Prabhu, you are here. So, kuch bhagwat bhagwat bol do. Speak some bhagwat bhagwat like this. I said, oh, I'm not in the mood. I'm not feeling well. Because if your approach is like that, then if the speaker does not feel affection, speaker will not speak. So, vatsa, The word Vatsa means my dear. In fact, Vatsa can also mean my darling. So here, Maitreya is speaking to Vidura and he's referring to Vidura as Vatsa, my dear, because he has sneha sambandha, the relationship of affection. The guru and disciple must have a relationship of affection. Finally, I will give this Bhagavatam to you because Shraddha Lave Nityam Anuvrataya, because you have two qualities. Shraddhalu, you are faithful. A disciple, Maitreya is telling Vidura, Vatsa, my dear, you have two disciples which are primary qualities of a disciple. What are the primary qualities of a disciple? One, Shraddhalu. He has faith in the words of the spiritual master. This is the internal quality, right? Internally, one is faithful. And externally, what does one do? Because of one's faith? Nityam, always. Anuvrataya, always follows the vow or the instruction. Vrata means vow. Vow and Anuvrata means following the vrata. Nityam means always following the vows. Chant 16 rounds minimum on beats. Follow the four regular principles strictly. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. Follow it strictly. These are the vows we take. Are we doing it? Are we doing it always? Are we really following them? This is the bare minimum. This is just, Srila Prabhupada one place says, this will just raise you to the human platform. Then you will become human when you follow this. Then it's a long journey. Yeah? Then you become human. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, then you become, if you follow these four regulative principles strictly, strictly meaning you don't even think of gambling, no thinking of women or men, depending on what gender you are, no thinking of meat eating or eating in some abominable place, no thinking of intoxication, not in mind, not in words, not in body. This, if you follow, you become human, only human. Then you have to rise above that. Human means you can become Vaishnava Praya, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What is Vaishnava Praya? Then you look like a Vaishnava. Vaishnava Praya means you are resembling some Vaishnava. There is somebody called as Vaishnava. When I see you, you look like a Vaishnava. That's all. For most of us, this is a situation. I can talk of myself. I'm a Vaishnava Praya, which means I resemble a Vaishnava. Oh, nice tilak, nice kurta, nice dhoti. What? Heart is full of malice. Long, long way to go. Working hard, struggling. But anuvrataya, never give up. Nityam anuvrataya, never give up. Never give up the vrata. So why is Maitreya giving the message to Vidura? Because you have two qualities, Vidura. You are Shraddhalave Nityam Anuvrataya, and you are Nityam Anuvrata. These are the two qualities of a disciple. One is internal quality, Shraddhalu, full faith. Externalizing it as always following the vows. So just see this verse. Every word, we try to penetrate the word by the mercy of the previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada. This is how one should study Srimad Bhagavatam, every verse. Srila Prabhupada has been very kind. He has allowed so many individuals, everyone practically, to sit on the Vyasasana and speak Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. But one should become sincere. One should have respect for the Vyasa-san and study very deeply and prayfully try to repeat. Not frivolously. Sometimes we see some speakers can be a little bit frivolous. But we should try to be sincere. We should not try and correct others or try to judge others. If somebody is frivolous, then we should learn, oh, I don't need to be like that. That's how I should not be. We should not criticize that frivolous person unless you are a direct line of authority for that person. Let it be. Like the Shastras they speak about. Like if you read Ramayana, for example, it has more verses speaking about Ravana than about Ramachandra. And it condemns Ravana. So is it Sat Shastra or Ninda Shastra? Because it is only doing Ninda. It is actually Sat Shastra. Because even the Ninda is done for us to understand how we should not behave. Okay, I shall stop here and take some questions. Hopefully, yes. Three hands up. We'll go in that direction. Any ladies, any questions? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. So here the Bhagavatam which was passed on by Parashar to Maitreya. Just curious, which Bhagavatam was that? Because definitely not the first two cantos. So was it just the 10th canto or some specific verses?
Very good. Good question. See, because we are on a mundane platform, for us, quantity is measured by physical dimensions. Which Bhagavatam? How many verses? Which verses? It's all quantitative because it's all physical measurement. Actually, Bhagavatam isn't quantitative. If you read Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Lagu Bhagavatamrita, that is also the essence of Bhagavatam. But then you don't find any of those verses in Bhagavatam. If you read the four verses that Brahmaji was given, you will struggle how these four verses have expanded to become this whole Bhagavatam. If you count the current Bhagavatam verses, it comes to 14,300 verses, the published verses by BBT. Of course, there is one acharya named Ganga Sahai from Maharashtra. He counted all the verses and rearranged them in an Anushtubh meter, and also he counted the Uvacha statements and the Samapti statements, and he added them up and it became 18,000. So he says this is 18,000. That's how he said it. But for us it's a very mundane thing, physical thing, numbers. Now the true answer is none of the acharyas have told us which, how much and which Bhagavatam has been given in this transmission. But Bhagavat Mahatmya says Bhagavatam is Ananta. There is no end to Bhagavatam. And just two verses before this one. So verse number 6, it is said Ananta, 5 or 6, Ananta's glorifying Vasudev in innumerable ways. Which verse is that? So, Bhagavatam that was given, transmitted, was sufficient to make the receiver into a Bhagavata. This is the answer. How much Bhagavatam was given to Brahma? Enough to make him a Bhagavata. How much did he give to Narada? Enough to make Narada a Bhagavata. How much was given from Maitreya to Vidura? Enough for Maitreya, for Vidura to become Bhagavata. Parashar gave to Maitreya how much? Enough for Maitreya to become Bhagavata. This is the Bhagavata. Yes.
So, is Bhagavatam as Adi Purana Adhyam? So, when Vyasdev, as a Shaktyavish avatar, when he has to compile the Puranas, why he had compiled Bhagavatam as the last Puranas and the other Puranas he compiled first?
The answer is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. He wanted to indirectly glorify the Lord until his guru Narad Muni instructed him. He then directly glorified the Lord with Bhagavatam. Actually, in the commentaries, Jiva Goswami says in those verses that with this episode we understand that unless there is a direct blessing of the spiritual master, one cannot fully realize one's own devotional potential, which for Vyasdev was to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. Next. Yeah. Yes.
We can see the difference between, for instance, Uddhava Gita and Bhagavad Gita spoken to Arjuna. And it's the similar concept presented, but it presents according to time, place and circumstances. When you go through Bhagavatam, you see that there are many instances, or this saintly king did this. This is the greatly lineage of saintly kings. This is the pastime of another king. So can we assume that Shukadev Goswami presented Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj because he was dharma was a king? Did he present it according to time, place and circumstances? Or can we raise a question that, let's say, if Srimad Bhagavatam would be narrated in a different circumstances, spoken to a different person, to a different assembly, can we say that the pastimes, narrations could be potentially completely different emphasis? The essence pastimes different.
Well, the simple answer is yes. Although, one part of your question which is not agreeable is that Bhagavatam is spoken, the message of Bhagavatam is modified according to time, place and circumstance. That is not true. Bhagavad Dharma and the message of Bhagavatam is consistent. However, the amount of pastimes and the depth of pastimes will vary. This is mentioned in Brahman Puran. For example, Shukdev Goswami in our current Bhagavatam does not speak the name of Radharani. So everyone is wondering why he doesn't glorify Radharani. He is so dear to Radharani and Radharani is so dear to him. In fact,
Brahma Puran says, Radha Nama Matrena Murcha Shanmasiki Bhavet.
If he would have spoken even the name Radha, Murcha means he would have fainted, Shanmasiki for 6 months. And because he wanted to be Parikshita Hit Kritam Muni, because he was thinking of Parikshit, this man has only 7 days. If I even say the name of Radha, he will faint for six months. He has only 7 days. So I cannot expand that pastimes. Are you following? But Bhagavatam is unlimited, also is known from 1st Canto, chapter 2, verse number 6. Vayam tu na vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame We are never satisfied. The rishis, when they are gathered, they are telling Shaunaka, please go on speaking Bhagavatam. Don't finish this class. I will finish soon. But they are saying, don't finish the class. Why? Why don't finish the class? Because na vitrupyama, we are never satisfied. It's never enough for us to hear from your mouth. Uttama shloka vikrame, the pastimes of the Lord from your mouth, we don't want to stop hearing. So please go on. And then they are saying, by the way, we are completely committed here. In fact, if you read the verses, they are saying, even Yamaraj is here with us. So don't worry, we are all old. Somebody might die and we have to do some ceremony in between. So don't worry. Even Yamaraj, we have made him lock his office and come here. So you just keep speaking. So Bhagavatam is unlimited, and yet it can be limited based on the individual whom it is being spoken to. Like we are, Bhagavatam is unlimited, but we have a time. I have to finish in 30 seconds. So this is the idea. But no, it is not the message per se doesn't change. So right now Bhagavatam says you are a part and parcel of Krishna, you should serve Krishna. Tomorrow or some other place Bhagavatam will say, well, you are not exactly part and parcel of Krishna, you can enjoy a little bit. No, this message will not, the essence will not change. But yes, like Murcha Shanmasiki Bhavet Radha Nama Matrena, simply by saying the name of Radha, he would have fainted for 6 months. So he didn't speak enough, deep. That's why we have the Acharyas. All this one verse, that we, today's verse, we went into all this depth because of 11 Acharyas commentaries. Thank you. One last question. Is it a quick one, Prabhu? Yes. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So nice session. I had questions like when you do like prachar or some kind of like, suppose Gita book distribution is happening, or that Tulsi Mata, we are doing that March month Chida Dahi.
Chida Dahi.
So when hundreds of people, devotee, we call them.
Yeah.
So that time people are not, you know, because all into miseries. So when somebody say, yeah, he has donated 5 Gita, somebody said 10 Gita, then some people are getting so motivated. Somebody say 100 Gita for prisons. Then they're getting motivated. Others, people who never thought of giving. So that time also we are doing aparad or...
No, no aparad. You can glorify others. Don't glorify yourself.
No, they declare... yeah. Then they declare the names.
That's fine.
Okay, fine. That's right.
You glorify others is different. If I give 100,000 pounds and the temple says we'll put your name, that's temple's business. But if I insist, put my name, or if I go and speak to everyone, I have given 100,000 pounds. Finished. It's not aparad. Even that is not aparad. I can say, if I have given 100,000, I can say. But sharati dharmaha kirtanat. If you glorify what you have done, dharma that you have done, the dharma that, the result of that dharma becomes zero. That's all.
No, basically the intention is to...
to encourage others. So if you glorify, if somebody has, now we do big distribution scores. Yes, it is for encouraging. That's it's fine.
That's right.
Please understand the subtleties of this.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai, Samveda Bhaktivrinda. Ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam. Ki jai.